We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Good evening. And I hope that you've had a wonderful week. Amen. God bless you. You are smiling. These are pointers to a wonderful week. Praise God. Amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. And there are certain things that God, there's only one thing that God does not do. The Bible says it's impossible for him. He cannot lie. So every word of God is true. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, if there will be a debate at all, it's not about whether the word is true. Amen. It will be about the person receiving the word. Are you playing your part? All things are ready. All things are done. The foundation is laid. It's left for you to build on it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you cannot have a foundation for a story building. Are you putting 3-4 story buildings? And you want a miracle to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. If unknowingly, and you ask God, miracles will happen. But one thing is sure, if you do things the right way, then you get the right results. Hallelujah. God has given us a will. And in that will, we choose. I said, I placed before you life and death. Now choose. We choose. We decide what we want to do. And he said, there are many paths, there are many ways before a man, but only one way is certain. So, I mean, for there to be many ways, then there's only one way, then two things occur to me. One is the ability to discern that way, that is the right way. And the second one is make that right choice. Okay, so, let's see. So you know that this is, say there are several things you can pick. Or it's just like when you put prizes in a box and say, the prize is just in one box and all these boxes look the same. So you have to be able to know which box and then decide on yourself that I pick it. You know, some people know the right and they don't do it. So don't wonder why would you not pick the right one, that you know this is the right one. People know the right things and they don't do it. Okay? If you look at everything in our environment, in our surrounding, you just wonder that year in, year out, we see the same kind of trend in governance. Okay? We see the same kind of trend. But you and I will sit down and everybody sits wherever they are, social media and anything, and we all discuss and everybody seems to know the right thing to do. Okay, even the ones that are there, they seem to know the right thing to do. And then you begin to wonder, why are the right things not being done? There are choices we make. So one thing for you to know the right thing, another thing is for you to have the will to do the right thing. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we sang daily as I live, often as I breathe. Let my whole life be expressions of your grace. We have to get ourselves to that point where all that we do is all about God. Amen. If people will read the scripture today, they open the Bible and they will read. They will read about Paul. They read about the disciples. They read different stories that were put in the Bible for our learning. Some people will never read the Bible. They will just look at you and I. And then they will be pointers. But that guy is supposed to be a Christian. But that guy is a Christian. He's not doing the right thing. Okay, now it's not an excuse for anybody not to do the right thing, but I'm saying that they've become, if we do not do what we profess, or we are not who we profess to be, then we are most likely going to cause some people to derail because their faith or their capacity is limited. Amen. Hallelujah. In as much as it's not, I mean, just like when we unknowingly follow the wrong way, I mean when you're driving and you follow the wrong way, or you see everybody passing a particular road or a particular path and you follow it, you don't know, it does not absolve you of that guilt that you are doing the wrong thing. Because other people do it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Okay? The onus lies on you to find the way out, the right way to do things and the right way to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Oftentimes we hear stories about people being healed. We read about Paul, Saul that became Paul. He was met on his way to Damascus, right? And then Christ met him. That bright shining light was Christ. And then he got his miracle. His life turned around. And it looked more or less like by hook or by crook. Amen. But don't forget that Saul was the master of the law. Okay? So more than often he will have read about Christ. He had an encounter with him all the while he was searching the books, okay, reading the law, trying to look for loopholes to get those that are following Christ. But as it was, there were seeds that were being sown. So it was not difficult for him to recognize that Christ when he appeared to him. Because there was no query. He simply said, I'm him whom we persecute. And he didn't ask, who are you? He didn't ask further. He knew exactly who was speaking to him. Amen. So I'm saying now that the things we do, okay, go a long way in affecting the lives around us and even affecting ourselves. The things we say and how we go about doing these things. Amen. The School of Miracles, we learn what miracles are, okay, and we see miracles come to play. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's given to all men, okay, that we are able to do miracles. It says he will pray for the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. No special thing. As long as you believe, you pray for the sick and they will recover. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. And that's what we see, because we've heard testimonies of even children, little ones, praying because they've been told or they've heard that when you pray for the sick, they will recover. And in their faith-filled minds, not querying the word of God, okay, they are able to bring to pass that which the word of God says. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. In Psalm 78. I want to read verse 41. Okay, let me read from verse 35. But we stop at verse 41. It says, then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and he did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible is speaking, talking about the children of Israel. And it says here that in their capacity as the children of Israel, okay, they tempted God, hallelujah, and they limited the Holy One of Israel, hallelujah. Amen. So it's so God was limited. It wasn't that he couldn't do whatever he would do, but he was limited, okay, because of the different things that they were doing: their stubbornness, their disobedience, and most importantly, their unbelief. Okay, each time they saw him do something, they never believed for the next one. Okay, so even when he was, even in the face of anything that was glaring, they would always just grumble and be like, "This God has brought us this far. Why didn't he leave us where we were? We are far better where we are." Okay, but the Bible says they tempted God. So oftentimes, they vexed him. They got him angry. And over and over and over and over. I mean, they have seen him on a daily basis over and over. Okay? I don't know, but if you see me on a daily basis, okay, and we have a rapport, and I do things for you on a daily basis, the natural tendency for you is to believe that you are going to, that's how it's going to continue. And that's why we are always very careful that you don't create a pattern that you cannot sustain. Okay, it's very important. You don't create a pattern that you cannot sustain. You know, very soon we're talking about relationships. I mean, in the next how many days now? 10 days. We're talking about relationships. One of the rule is that which you will not eat. One of the rules that you not eat, you not sniff it. Hallelujah, amen. Now things that you cannot sustain, you do not start. I say, you are believing, you have faith. There's a limit to what you can sustain. And you should know that there's a limit to it. If by faith you are able to do more, you can do it. But whoever is on the other end will not be expecting that that's going to be a continuum. Hallelujah. Amen. So if I come in every day and I give you a high five, and I do that consistently for even, they say it takes about 21 days to form a habit. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true, but they say 21 days to form a habit. So if I do that consistently, let's say for a month or two, the natural thing for you is when we see that you slap a high five. If I don't do it, you're going to have a second thought. Okay? Now, if you have established that rapport, and I see you, I want to give you a high five, and you're like, what's the meaning of that? I'm going to wonder. I did that yesterday, I did that 2 days before, and and you're still questioning me today. Then there's a problem. Right. So the children of Israel, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. I thought God was almighty. I thought he could do anything at all that he wanted to do, irrespective of who you are. But here, God, the Bible is telling us that they limited him. So the things that he wanted to do, he was not able to do it because of their countenance. Or because of their disposition towards him. Hallelujah. Amen. So God, there's always an enabling environment for you to see God manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. I say, so is that really possible? I mean, it's recorded here. And in the book of, Matthew chapter 13, daily as I live, often as I breathe, let my whole be expressions of your grace. Yeah, Matthew 13 from verse 57. It says, so they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Sorry. Matthew 13. This one's truncated, that's why. And verse 57. Yeah. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. He still showed himself as Jesus. Because he said he did not do many. It's not like he didn't do anything at all. The same thing that was said in Psalm 78. He says, the limited, okay? So they could not see the full expression of God because of the things that they were doing that were not in alignment with the expectation of God. Hallelujah. So there was not a total outage, okay? There was not an outage, total or total blackout of them being able to experience God. But they were not seeing him in his all in all. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's like you go to school and then you go to class and then you listen to whatever the lecturer has to say. And then you close your books and you go. The next time you have a class, you go to class, you listen to whatever he has to say, you close your book and it goes. And you go rather. And then you keep doing that over and over. And then when time comes for exam, all you want to rely on is those things you heard when he was lecturing. Okay? Now, for some people, it may work, but it may not always work. Because some people say, yes, I only listen. Now, if you don't do anything extra, okay, you're not going to see the best of yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're just going to be barely get scaling through. You get a D, you get an E. Okay? Whereas you can get an A. That's what he's saying here. They limited him. Now, this one says that he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Hallelujah. Faith in God is very essential. It's an essential ingredient. If you see all that God has done or all that he has in store for us, you need to remove that unbelief and believe. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying you are unbelievers. I'm just saying that these are pointers to the fact that if you do not see the fullness, then you need to know that at times, there is a limiting factor by man. Hallelujah. It does not diminish the fact that God is God. Hallelujah. And it does not mean that he doesn't have the capacity. But God has so done it, has so created us in such a way that we have a will. Okay? And in that will, we do actually decide what happens to us. Amen. So if I make food, I remember when I was in secondary school, sometimes when I'm not here at home and I get scolded, I won't eat. I go on hunger strike. So I won't eat. I won't eat one day. I won't eat anything in the afternoon. That's the best I can go in the afternoon. And so my mother gets worried that this boy didn't eat. But very late in the night, I go to the kitchen. I won't eat the meal she cooked or the food she cooked. I won't eat it. I'll go to the kitchen and take maybe curry or something because I cannot kill myself. But I'm angry that I've been scolded. Then the following day, she wakes up and looks at the pot. I'm like, and it's like, this boy. And it's like, this boy did not take anything last night. Now, that's not true. But she looks at the meal she has prepared and she's wondering. And she's the one that scolded me. And then she gets worried that he's not eating. Okay? Now, I'm denying myself, okay, of the fullness of what she has prepared. I look at it too. I want to eat it too. But because of that stubbornness, I said, no, I'm not eating it. And then one day, I think one particular day, she drove all the way to my lesson, took all the energy, and went to report to me that I'm not eating at home. And I was like, oh my God, this is interesting. Hallelujah. But she has prepared something and she's expecting that I take out of it, irrespective. And that's the same thing with God. He's made everything available. Amen. And he's expecting you to come and take freely. Oh, because you have an attitude, you have stubbornness, you unbelief. I mean, you have a limit to, there's a limit to what you are giving yourself the access to. There's no limit to what he has given you an access to. Amen. It is you that is limiting yourself, hallelujah, to what he has made ready for you and I. Amen. Christ has come and he has died. He says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay, to show forth his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He's died. Everything is ready. If he says you want healing, he has done it way back. Okay, by stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you still mope around and you do not understand those facts for what they are, you are not going to be able to see God in action. If you don't understand that this is what he has done, you cannot see what he has done. Hallelujah. Or you refuse to see that he has done it. Because say, how come I'm not, then you begin to ask him questions. How come I'm not feeling it? Now, so oftentimes we engage in conversations that are not necessary. That don't take you to, they are not necessary. Is it for you to find out why you have it? Or is it for you to find out how you get out of it? Okay. Is it for you to find out why you have it? Some people say, you need to know why so that you don't go back. Okay. But for me, I'd rather first get out of it and then look back and say, okay, that's why I got there. So you begin to say, in this situation you have found yourself, what has he done? What is the way out for me? Hallelujah. Amen. And then when you get the way out, you cannot look back and be like, so how don't I fall back into what I just got myself out of? That's the way I walk. Hallelujah. Some people may argue, but we don't need to get into endless arguments about it. Amen. Hallelujah. What is important is that you see that he has done it. Or this has been prepared. The Bible says he has prepared the table before you, in the presence of your enemies. Amen. He did not prepare the table for your enemies. He prepared the table for you in their presence. And so those of us that don't like telling people something and say, if I say it, the people in the village may carry it. When God was preparing that something, he prepared it in their presence. And if they could not stop him from preparing it, they cannot stop him from delivering it. The only person that can limit him from delivering is you. Amen. But God can force me. He doesn't want to force anybody. Hallelujah. He's giving us a will, and he wants to see you and I do the things he has asked us to do. I mean, when we're growing up, we design cars with bottle tops, broomsticks, Saint Louis Park. Abi? Yes, now. But these children who know Saint Louis now, they are eating granulated sugar. So the sugar they know is the one inside nylon bag. Abi? But we know Saint Louis. Saint Louis was our goalpost now. When we play table soccer, it was goalpost. The same Saint Louis is a. Amen. Hallelujah. It was interesting growing up. I don't think it's interesting right now. I don't think so. I think it was interesting then. But they don't have a reference, so they will be happy, these millennium children, they will be happy with all this app that give them eye strain, backache, neck ache. We were happy playing in the sand, and we were happy designing. So we will take the bottle top, take the broomsticks, and we don't just take any kind of broomstick. We take the thick part, and you don't take broom that was made yesterday or today, or you go to the one that they were using, probably the one that they use for your ijabe. Thank you, because those ones are strong. Yeah, we are going somewhere, and then we design the car. You put in the broomsticks at the back of the assembly box, in and out on both sides. Then you put it there, in and out on both sides, and then you put your tires, the bottle top, right. And then the next thing is you find a thread, so that you attach it, and then you begin to drag it, and then it's a competition. But you can imagine the anger when you drag it and that counter falls off. You have taken time to design, and you have taken time to take care of all the possibilities. I'm just telling you these things because the same way God has done all these things for us, and then to move, the thing decides that it will not move. You know the frustration. Then when you take it again, and then you say, "Oh, okay, I didn't do this," then you fix it. Each time you begin to discover something wrong, you get frustrated more. But you get encouraged because each time he responds. Each time he responds. Okay? Now, by the last time, when he fully responds, you are very happy. Okay? Much effort has gone into that design. And much is the expectation from you. Yeah, well, from us, where we designed it. This days is app that they design. And if virus crashes it, they begin to cry. But this one you have control. Abi? Hallelujah. That's what God expects from us. Because he doesn't want to be limited. He doesn't want to deal with unbelief. If you could tell the centurion, I've not seen so much great faith. It was simply because the centurion said, don't come to my house. I don't need to see you physically. All I need is issue the command. Issue the command. Identify with what he can do. Identify with what he has done and rely on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, some people will not come. You know, people like arguing a lot, especially in these days, and that's the problem. Don't be too intelligent for God. That's another way for you to limit God. Some people are just too intelligent for God. Because they read, and then they come back and ask certain questions that don't make any sense. But in their eyes, it makes sense. Because sometimes they tell you that. They tell you that. See, you believe in a God that you don't see. Boy, we see that God. Because we have a Noah on the inside of us. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Spirit, okay, to help us and to bring to remembrance everything that they have taught us. It's very tangible and very real to us. To them that are perishing, the word of the cross is madness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the question is, if you will not limit him, then you should be in the place of understanding. Amen. You know, unknowingly you can limit him because you don't know what he has done. If you don't know what he has done, there's no way you can appreciate it. Rather than walking towards it, you walk away from it. Amen. But if you know what he has done by searching the scriptures and searching the word of God, then you're able to appreciate it and stay with it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if I give to you the key to a house, for instance, the door, and I say, this is the key to the door, I just locked that door. Go back there, open the door, and get me something. When you get to that door, that's the only key you have. That's the only key you have. When you get to the door, and you insert it, you turn it this way, you turn it that way, it does not open. You remove it, you look at it again, and you put it back. Right? You turn it this way, you turn it that way. If you don't do it, then you look at it again, then you turn it upside down. But you know what you're doing, you're persistent. Because he said, this is the key that he used, and this is the only key he gave me. And he just stepped away from it and said, this is the key that he used, then it must open it. So there's no other conflict in your head, though. The only thing that you want to believe, that you believe, is that that key, as he has given it to you, must open that door. So you die there. You know what that means? You die there. Now there you go, there, until that door opens. If it doesn't open, you look, you see, he couldn't have told me what was not, because he wants me to get him something. Now, if you have a bunch of keys, if I give it and say, this is the key, go to that door and open it. And you get to the door, you turn it this way, that way doesn't open it. You see, that man must have smoked something. You take another key out of that bunch, you leave that key that I gave you, Abby, you take another one and put it. Then you look at all of them and say, hey, this one, this shape is not like this. This shape is like this. And then when you have wasted all your time, you still come back to that same key, you put it. Amen. The things you don't know, that it's going to always be difficult for you to stay with it. That's what I'm saying. Because you know the first one, because you knew and you know, that's why you stay with that key. Now, sometimes doors can be funny. It may not turn left, it may turn right. I think there's a particular door. If you want to open it, there's a technique to open it. If you don't lift it up and turn the key, you're not going to open it. So if I give you that key and say, this is the key to the door. If you stay by that door, if I don't tell you, lift it up gently and shift it to the I shift it to the left, you'll be able to open it. But we rest assured that that's the key that's going to turn the lever of the lock. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that you know, you always stay by them and you stand by those things, even in the face of trial. Hallelujah. So if you search the scriptures and you find out what God has done for you, amen, you stay there because you have seen it. Hallelujah. You don't necessarily need to see it come to play. Amen. You have read it because all the scripture that is given is was inspired by God and is given for our learning. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you've seen it in the scripture and because we know that God cannot lie, amen, we stay there. Limiting the Holy One of Israel should not be found in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we saying that we should be lazy about things? No. Believing God doesn't make you lazy. Amen. In fact, believing Him makes you more active. Okay? And makes you do more work. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you cannot believe Him. And for everyone that believed God in the Bible, God gave them something to do. And they went ahead to do those things to see the result. Okay? So when he was talking to Moses, He gave Moses a rod. He looked at the rod in Moses' hand and told him what to do with it. Amen. And whatever he told him to do, and if he didn't do it, he wasn't going to see any result. Hallelujah. For everyone that descends on an errand, that believes in whatever he told them to do, they have to do something to see whatever he said come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Miracles happen all the time. I saw something today. Somebody said, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Why would you stay with such a thing? Hallelujah. If you are with the God that knows tomorrow, then tomorrow is sure by His grace. When you begin to do things of your own power and of your own might, you are not going to see God come to work, because all the glory must return to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is gone. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, Romans 5, verses 1 to 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I read it again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Our faith give us access into that grace. Amen. Unbelief is not a way to go, because you will not see much of God. So you will come in a flash, and then that's when you say it was by luck. That's what people say. I was lucky. I just got there in good time. I was lucky because something worked for them. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way of unbelief. Hallelujah. If anything works for you, it's because you've had access through faith to the grace that God has given to you. Amen. We ought not to limit God, because God expects a response from us to the things that He has done. So if you do not respond, then it will be that you do not appreciate, you do not understand, or you are totally not for it. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you pray from now to tomorrow, it depends on how you pray. Hallelujah. Amen. For the things that you have done, you don't ask for them anymore. Amen. So if you're asking for things, okay, and you ask for the first time, the next time you are praying, you should be thanking Him for the things that you have asked for. Hallelujah. Because if you ask again, you are asking in unbelief. Because you are asking and asking and asking. Is there anybody say we should knock, knock? At a point in your heart, when you pray, you will know that you have had a breakthrough. And once you get to that point, all you do is to thank him. Amen. Hallelujah. It says knock and the door will be open. It didn't say keep knocking. He answers when you call. He answered Daniel when he prayed. Daniel did not see it until after some days. Hallelujah. Amen. But it did not mean that he did not answer the first time. He doesn't leave us without solutions, because he has already given us solution. So when we do pray, we do ask that our hearts are opened and our eyes of understanding are enlightened, and we are able to see and receive that which he has done. Amen. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Motion round off. 1 Peter 1:6-9. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Let me repeat it. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. It says that you are not grieved by various trials. Those trials, it brings out the genuineness of your faith. Hallelujah. And it says here that that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you are going through trials, hallelujah, it's not the time to waver. It's not the time to thin out or to burn out. Amen. It's the time for you to know that the genuineness of your faith is being tested. Hallelujah. But that is in that that you glory. Amen. That's not the time when you now be like, now begin to question God. And then that's when you now go and open the book of Job. It's thing you don't understand. You don't start reading it. No. It says that it's testing the genuineness of your faith. And it brings out honor and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what is behind all the trials and the griefs. Amen. The testing of the genuineness of your faith. And it's only pointing to one thing. It's going to bring glory to him. Hallelujah. So when you step forth and you begin to do things, know that you have the capacity to limit God if you are not careful. Amen. But nobody wants to limit God. Everybody wants to see the fullness of God. Everybody wants to see all that God has in store for him. Hallelujah. And it only takes you walking in faith. Amen. That's the ultimate. It says here that receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the ultimate. Hallelujah. Seeing what God is capable of doing. Hallelujah. In the midst of all things. Amen. You know, I mean, the Israelites, if they had not been that kind of people, their journey wouldn't have taken that long. But you look at it, God looked at it and said, if they meet with anything on this route, the shorter of the two routes, okay, they may be discouraged. So he took them through the longer route. Even at that, because he was a compassionate God, he had mercy on them. He knew what they would experience on the way. Even at that, they still exhibited a lot of unbelief and a lot of doubt. Even seeing him. I mean, if you go to this beach in this Lagos here alone, and you see it part ways and dries up almost immediately, do you need any other thing to believe God? In fact, you will sleep, even when it's closing, when the thing is closing, you sleep there and say nothing there happened. That's how it's supposed to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise on our feet, please. You have to delight in God and in His commandments. His commandments are not bothersome, and there's no quality of life in the light like the one that is guided and governed by the commandments of God. There's no quality of life in it, except it's by the commandment of God. So even when it looks like this commandment is difficult for your flesh to take, hallelujah, know that it's for the good of your total being. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us thank Him and give Him praise. Give him praise. He will see God walk through us and in us. Is that we are not exhibiting any unbelief. In Matthew, he says, in Matthew, the book of Matthew that you read, he said he did not do many miracles in their midst because of unbelief. So you have to remove unbelief out of the equation. Hallelujah. And you will see miracles on a constant basis. Hallelujah. Not one turn, one today, one tomorrow, one today, 1 6 months time. Hallelujah. Unbelief out of it and miracles all the way. Hallelujah. E capo calinga la posso te liga le capo seria e